on integrity, paid by the hour.
Wyoming wasn't built overnight. It was built by people who worked hard, stayed true to their values, and thought about the next generation. This is Frank Boley, and we think the same way at Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. We help individuals, families, and businesses build a financial plan designed to last. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, building a legacy that matters. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Every morning, a veteran in a small Wyoming town raises the flag outside his home. He's done it for years, part of a routine that reminds him he still matters. When his wife passed away, the flag stopped flying for a while. But one day, a young ranch hand asked if he could help. That moment, that connection, gave him purpose again. Sometimes we just need someone to reach out. A neighbor, a friend, a reminder that we're not alone. If life feels heavy or you're worried about someone who's pulled away, call or text 988. 24 hours a day, someone will listen. Someone will care. Wyoming takes care of its own. Hope lives here. A message from Wyoming Health Fairs with support from the McMurray Foundation, Natrona Collective Health Trust, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, working together to make sure no Wyoming neighbor faces their darkest moments alone.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, April 22nd, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning we're joined by University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad. Welcome back.
Morning, Floyd. Good to be with you this morning.
How's the semester going?
Going fast, Floyd. We're only a few weeks away from being done here. Seems crazy.
Yeah.
But it's been great. It's been a great time, and this is a big time to celebrate we have coming up. So excited about that.
I know we both kind of just show our age a little bit when we talk about it, but how's your weather?
Man, the past couple of days have been gorgeous. Holy cow. But it does sound like that's going to change here today and tomorrow, and that's actually really good. We need some of that white stuff and wet stuff.
Absolutely.
On the landscape.
Absolutely. Some big news out of the University of Wyoming is the Board of Trustees has recently appointed a new president. Can you tell us a little bit about the general?
Yeah, Shane Reeves, who born and raised in Sweetwater County, a Wyoming guy. He's had an amazing career in the U.S. Army. He's a brigadier general. He's the chief academic officer at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Has a Bronze Star from service in Iraq. And I can just tell you, I've interacted with him enough. He's just a good Wyoming guy. He joked about when he was on campus here, you hear Brigadier General, and you're thinking, guy with the crew cut with the cigar, he just yells at people. And that's not him at all. He's just a down-to-earth guy but a great leader, too. And so we're excited to have him.
You know, one thing that I always kind of looked up to when it came to generals is their pragmatic approach to a lot of problems, just simple problem solving. They don't get too excited about too much. They just want to get issues resolved. When will the general officially take over as president of the university?
So it's kind of it'll be in July, Floyd. He's although I'll tell you, he's already interacting with him quite a bit on the kind of on communications related stuff and media interviews and things like that. He'll hit the ground running for sure, but he does have a lot of stuff he's got to wrap up at West Point first, and we have to let him do his job there too until he's going to retire from the Army. I think at the end of May. So I don't know the intricacies of retirement from the military and all that, but anyway, I think we'll call him President Reeves here instead of General Reeves.
Yeah,
but. But we'll see how that goes. He tells people just to call him Shane a lot, too, so we'll see how that works out.
Now, what is his current role at West Point?
Yeah, so his job, he's the dean of the academic board at West Point. Now, what that means is he's the top academic leader there at West Point.
Wow.
So it would be similar to what you would maybe say provost at a university is, if that makes sense, or vice president for academic affairs or something like that. Yeah, so he's one of the top leaders there for sure. Probably this, I would say probably the number two leader, I would guess, if you equate it to the provost here.
Did this significant experience as dean of the academic board at such a prestigious institution play a lot into his selection?
Oh, I think so, Lloyd. I mean, I can't speak for the trustees. I can kind of speak a little bit for the search committee because I was on it. We had a 17-member search committee, reviewed all the applicants, and then passed along some semifinalists to the trustees. But, you know, we were very impressed with his record of success as a leader. And as you said, you put it very well, I think, in terms of what the kind of challenges that military leaders face. He's actually an attorney. He's a he got his law degree from the College of William and Mary, and his area of expertise is he's written like lots of he's a prolific scholar who's written about armed conflict, national security, international law, the rules of engagement, all that stuff. He's an expert in that area, so that's kind of his academic background. But his leadership background is, you know, he's very impressive, and so I think that was a big thing. I will say, though, I think another aspect of it was his connection with the state. He's got lots of family in Wyoming. Wyoming is always, you know, considered always his home, and throughout his military career, he comes back and visits a lot, and so he's very familiar with us and you know, Wyoming's university. And so, I mean, I know I'm sure he considers there's things, a lot of things he's got to learn too, but. Anyway, that familiarity, I think, was an aspect of it as well.
It sounds like this was pretty competitive as far as the search for this position. Did you receive a lot of applicants?
Yeah, well, there were over 100 of them.
My goodness.
Over 100 applicants for the position, yeah. And you know, the search committee I was on, we screened them down to, we interviewed 10 in a first round kind of interviews, and then narrowed that down to four or five, I can't remember, that we passed along to the trustees. They then had two finalists that they publicly announced who did public things and that sort of thing. So it's, it was a great process, lots of interest, and I think a great outcome.
Absolutely. I think you guys found a fantastic president going forward. He sounds like a very, very strong fit for the University of Wyoming as well, being a, you know, forgive me for the phrase, but he's a local boy. And there is ownership when it comes to, you know, local pride, being able to walk in there and look at this university and say, you know what, this is the university of my home state. So a lot of local pride in that. I'm going to switch gears on you, sir, because recently Laramie jumped to number 4 on Rent Cafe's Best College Towns list. How significant is this list in academic circles, John?
Well, you know, Floyd, it's hard for me to say. I'm not sure the, you know, it's like maybe is certainly not as big a deal for example as like the Carnegie R1 designation that we've talked about before, that, you know, we're in the top 5% of all institutions when it comes to like research and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, but you know, these websites that come out, they come out and they do these rankings, and they're, you know, they're from a marketing standpoint, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, like they look at all the college towns across America. They have a methodology they look at, things like, affordability, the livability of a community, like natural amenities and the arts and entertainment and recreation establishments. But then they also look at like the student to faculty ratio and our admissions yield. And the area that caused us to shoot up on this list was our student retention and graduation rates. We've been making progress there, And we went from number 16 to number 4 because of that.
Wow.
The actual number, they looked at 244 college towns across the country, and we're now number 4 on this list. Now, is it definitive? Is that, you know, we were ranked number 1 in 2024 by a different website called The Travel. But anyway, there's sort of builds up over time. You know, you get enough of these, it's like people are kind of starting to recognize us, and that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. A major jump. What does that say to you about the direction UW is headed?
Well, I think it says a lot. I mean, first of all, our state has made a big investment in this place. Floyd, we talked about this before. The legislature, the governor, we've been a beneficiary of a lot of spending to make sure, first of all, we have world-class facilities. Secondly, that we have world-class programs and people. That turns into people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a great experience for students. And, of course, then we're in a community that, just like many communities in Wyoming, cares about itself, you know, takes care and has a vibrant downtown here and, just a lot of things to offer somebody here. One thing that we didn't control was the amazing natural resources we have, the beautiful mountains nearby. You know, God took care of that part of it for us. Right? But
yeah.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool to see us listed high like this. Up there with some big names like, you know, Clemson, South Carolina and Pullman, Washington. We're above Gainesville, Florida, Provo, Utah, Athens, Ohio, Moscow, Idaho is another one kind of in our region. So, we always like to tout those when we get them, and this is a pretty cool one.
A little bit of bragging rights at the conventions, you know,
when
you guys get around and start talking
to
each other.
You know, students look at this stuff. Well, they really
do.
I mean, they look these days, there's so much information out there. They can look for all kinds of information about, you know, and when they're making their decisions on where they're going to go. And this sort of thing helps us, absolutely.
Now, when we talk about going to college, one of the biggest things on everybody's mind, of course, is tuition. When it comes to in-state tuition for our kids here, can you put that into, like, a national average? That's something that I sure. kind of wanted to talk to you about because UW does try to make everything it can as affordable as it can. And if I remember right, that is somewhere written down long ago as like a promise to the state, correct?
Yes, our state constitution says that an education at our university will be as nearly free as possible for residents of Wyoming. Now, they didn't say exactly what nearly free as possible means, but that's pretty strong language.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you look across the country, we are among the very lowest cost universities for resident students. I think maybe the only universities now that might be lower maybe are some of the Florida universities. There. And so that's in addition to the fact, Floyd, we have this great Hathaway Scholarship Program in Wyoming for students. It covers, thanks to the legislature and the governor, just acting this past session, it's going to cover a huge chunk of the cost of coming here, tuition and fees. And so, that affordability and access thing we take very seriously. And our trustees, I know every time when they have to look at a tuition increase, they really scrutinize it against, is this something, does it meet that standard of as nearly free as possible?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, that's the thing that our state has prioritized, and we take that role and that mission very seriously.
Sir, as you're walking around, kind of talking to your students, getting to know those kids, does the role of Laramie's lifestyle, because I lived in Laramie for a number of years, and the environment around Laramie, does that play a major role in recruiting this Gen Z student generation? Because there was a big outdoors push amongst my daughter's generation. They wanted to be out. They wanted to be kind of free, away from the screens. And I know a lot of people may argue with me on this, but talking to my daughter, there's a big trend in that. Get outside. Get away from that stuff. Does that play a big role in your recruitment?
Yeah, absolutely, Floyd. We emphasize it in just about everything we put out there. You know, the Laramie isn't for everybody. We acknowledge that. If you want to be in a big city with lots of traffic, smog, maybe more shopping and entertainment options, maybe you get that in the city,
right?
Then Laramie isn't for you. But if you want some adventure, you know, drive 15 minutes out of town and you're at Vita Vu, an incredible spot, or you're up in the Snowies, or you can go to Lake Hattie and fish, catch a giant rainbow trout. I did that last night, Floyd. I don't want to brag too much. But it's like, you know, this is the place. I mean, this place, there's an endless opportunity. Lots of public land, of course, in Wyoming, which is pretty cool for people to experience. But we also have a vibrant downtown here, you know, and a great community. We have plenty of shopping here as well, and entertainment, for goodness sake. So anyway, and if you really, really have to go, and I've done this from time to time, if you need to go watch your favorite classic rock band, you can go drive down to Denver and watch them there.
You got Red Rocks right over the hill, right?
But then you're always so glad and relieved when you get back into Wyoming for that darn traffic.
That's right.
You just had to deal with.
That's right. I'm not ashamed to admit that when it comes to driving in the cities, I hand the wheel to the wife. She's much better at that. Yep. She grew up right outside of Minneapolis. She knows how to get through that stuff. I grew up here. I'm not very good at that kind of thing, and it kind of stresses me out. One more thing I wanted to touch on before we take a quick break, Chad, and that's you guys also ranked in Time's top 10 universities list. This is a pretty significant recognition as well. When did that come in?
So I want to clarify that, Floyd. So Time Magazine did rankings this year, and among public universities in all of America, we ranked number 61.
Okay.
So that's for that. And then among all universities, public and private in the United States, we were number 99. And so that's pretty impressive. In the past, like with the U.S. News and World Report, getting in that top 100 public universities was a big deal. We're top 100 all universities, so that's kind of a new exciting ranking too. You bet.
Absolutely. All right. On that, we're going to have more with our University of Wyoming in just a moment. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Home, feeling overwhelmed?
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean hundreds saved every month.
If you meet income guidelines, you may qualify to buy your primary residence.
Let's make it simple.
Call us or visit efirstfederal.bank today for all the details.
First Federal Bank and Trust. We're with you every step home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If you think it's time to find a better employment situation than the one you currently have, plan on joining us as we broadcast live from the Career Network Fair Wednesday, April 29th from 11 to 1 in the Sheridan College Golden Dome. Employers will be available to discuss various opportunities available and to answer any questions you might have. The Career Fair, April 29th, sponsored by Sheridan College, the Sheridan VA, and Wyoming Workforce Services.
Hi, I'm Kurt Lair, and I'm excited to tell you that I've joined the Midas team here in Sheridan. When's the last time your vehicle had a checkup? Midas does it all. Brakes, alignments, oil changes, suspension, AC service, tires, batteries, check engine diagnostics, and full routine maintenance. Basically, if it's part of your vehicle, we can fix it and save you some money doing it. Save $80 on tires right now, and you can get free wiper blades with any premium oil change. Make Midas your one-stop shop. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Val Green here at Sheridan Motors. And if you live in Wyoming, you know you need a vehicle that can handle it all. Snow, mountains, towing, and everything in between. Right now, we have 2025 Jeep Grand Cherokees with up to $5,500 in rebates. And on new 26 Ram 1500s, get 2.9 for 72 months, plus an additional $4,250 in rebates. If you've been thinking of upgrading, now is the time, because these deals won't last long. Come see me, Val Green, at Sheridan Motors.
This weekend, the Sheridan Troopers will be at home playing doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday as part of a triangular between the Troopers, the Helena Senators, and the Casper Oilers. On Saturday, first pitch for the Troop will come at 1 p.m., with the second game starting at around 7 p.m. On Sunday, they'll play first at 10 a.m. and again at around 4 p.m. Troopers baseball all weekend long. Listen live on 1410 a.m. and 106.9 FM KWIO, or you can watch live on SheridanMedia.tv.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Now, recently, four UW students received National Science Foundation fellowships. Chad, what is the National Science Foundation and what is their overall mission?
Sure. Floyd, the National Science Foundation is a federal agency that distributes funding and helps advance priorities for scientific research. That's about the best way I can describe it. And so that's like one of the primary federal agencies that steers research money to universities. The other ones are like the National Institutes of Health, that sort of thing. So anyway, this is it's a big one, and these graduate research fellowships are pretty highly coveted, and pretty cool that we have four getting them this year.
Absolutely. This sounds like it would be extremely competitive. And what kinds of benefits do these fellowships provide to students as they continue on with their education?
Yeah, they provide 3 years of financial support. It's an annual $37,000 stipend, and they have $16,000 cost of education allowance to cover their tuition and fees. And then you get international research and professional development opportunities and that sort of thing. So as you said, there are 14,000 applicants nationwide, and only 2,500 students get the award.
Wow. Wow. Now, do these students have to be pursuing studies or research within a particular avenue, or can they be researching or studying something kind of out of the blue? Something, it doesn't matter, just as long as their grades are good and they're really kind of steamrolling down the research path.
So I think probably, I mean, so there needs to be in this science, technology, engineering, and mathematics field. So it's we call that STEM, of course. Mm. So it needs to be in those fields. Exactly, you know, how they the Science Foundation looks at, you know, the area of study and how important that is, I'm not really sure about the criteria for that. But these four students are doing some pretty cool things. And by the way, you know, one of them is from Sheridan, which is pretty neat.
I saw that. That's fantastic. What are the different research areas that these students are pursuing?
Sure. So Josephine Walton from Sheridan is going to be working in the lab of somebody we've talked about before. It's Dr. Thomas Boothby, and they're looking at these tardigrades, these little critters, microscopic critters that can survive just about any conditions, and how, you know, they can pull proteins from these things and make preserve pharmaceuticals and maybe find a way to, you know, to grow things on other planets, and, you know, just and maybe extend human life. So she's going to be in that lab working, which is cool. We got one who's looking at these amphibians in Wyoming called boreal toads, and studying how disease in these amphibians in western Wyoming. So that's a pretty wide thing there. We've got one student looking at the physiology of insects. So this is like an entomology area. And then another one is looking at migratory habits among these birds, the gray-crowned rosy finch. It's a North American songbird. It's up in the high alpine environments, looking at how these birds migrate. So that's a pretty broad span just in four areas there with these four graduate students. But that's what they're looking at.
That's fantastic. Now, you know, when it comes to mentors, having individuals kind of help you along the way, How important is the role of faculty members and mentors in students to reach this level?
It's huge. It's like, I mean, that's the whole thing. And that's one of the things, what again, we talk about at Wyoming's University is, as an undergraduate even, you can come here at UW and you can have opportunities to work with individual world-class faculty members on important projects. Josephine Walton, who we talked to from Sheridan, she was part of what we call our Wyoming Research Scholars Program, which is for undergraduates or students pursuing bachelor's degrees. And in that program, you're paired up with a faculty mentor from the very start. That's a competitive program. You can apply for it when you apply to UW. You know, there's a scholarship associated with it, but you apply when you're a senior in high school to get into the Wyoming Research Scholars Program. And so in her case, she had that mentoring experience from the very start. When you go on to graduate school, which all these four students are now, it's that you're always going to have a senior faculty member or an accomplished faculty mentor kind of overseeing your research and helping you along the way. That's the way academia works.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, you have somebody that you can go to with these big questions who understands what you're talking about, These kids are studying things that are so far advanced. There's got to be a very small number of individuals out there who would know exactly what the discussion was even about. So that's fantastic to hear. Four students receiving these fellowships, major deal. Now, one thing before I let you go, Chad, you're always great about sharing major scientific advances with me, and I greatly appreciate that because I am fascinated by the universe. And I just want folks to know, and maybe if we could just touch on it a little bit, the dark energy, and I'm going to try and say this correctly, spectroscopic instrument project has completed a 5-year mission. It mapped the known universe. This is huge in more than one way. Chad, what exactly was accomplished in this?
Yeah, so one of our faculty members, Adam Myers, he's a professor in physics and astronomy. He developed the detailed plan for the final sequence of observations done with this instrument. So it's as you described, dark energy spectroscopic instrument, DESI, the acronym, and it's mounted on a telescope at an observatory in southern Arizona. And so, it has 5,000 independently operated swiveling robots measuring light from thousands of galaxies simultaneously.
Wow.
That's quite an instrument there. And Professor Myers was part of this team. It's a huge team that's been working on this. But they basically, you said, they're creating a high-resolution 3D map of the universe. And so this is like more than 47 million galaxies and quasars.
Wow.
Involved in this. It's just staggering. I can't even, it's like, what? It's incredible.
It's
pretty cool. One of our professors has played a key role in that.
This is literally at the universal scale, thinking about something that big and being able to try and map where each dot is in the sky, things that we can't even see. They're mapping and essentially documenting the location of these things. Is there any way that anyone can kind of get a general idea of what this would even look like? Or is it one of those situations where the scope is so huge you can't put it into one picture?
Well, I think, we get some spectacular images from this, like still images. There are some places you can go to learn more about it where you can conceive of it a little more by visualizing things. There's like a, if you did a Google search for DESI, then you'd be able to see some stuff, but probably for most lay people like you and me, it might be a little bit, difficult to,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe it would be easier than I think.
Right,
I
yeah, yeah. We'll have to look into that a little bit because, when I think about something like that, I think like little specks of data. And a scientist or an individual working on this will be able to look at that and say, oh my goodness, what a fantastic discovery. Look at what we've got here. And you and I might look at it and say, that's a lot of dots. Chad, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, speaking with us, keeping us up to date what's going on down at our University of Wyoming. It is always a pleasure speaking with you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd. I really appreciate our conversations.
When we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
If you're unhappy with your current employment situation or thinking you want to spring forward into a better job than the one you have now, plan to attend the Career Network Fair, Wednesday, April 29th from 11 to 4 at the Sheridan College Golden Dome. Employers will be on hand to answer any questions you may have. The Career Network Fair is sponsored by Sheridan College, the Sheridan VA, and Wyoming Workforce Services. Find your new career at the Career Network Fair, 11 to 4, April 29th at the Sheridan College Golden Dome.
Looking for a place that has something for everyone? Smith Alley Brewing, right in downtown Sheridan, combines great food, quality drinks, and family-friendly fun. Kids can enjoy the arcade, you can challenge friends at the pool table, and catch every big play on their giant 70-inch and 90-inch TVs. Savor their new menu and family-friendly pricing in a welcoming, comfortable space for the whole family. Visit Smith Alley Brewing in downtown Sheridan. Right up your alley.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn on why training your dog is important.
Well, I kind of compare it to a child. Typically what we say is Junior's going to go to school. He's going to at least get a basic education, hopefully high school at the least. But through that, he's going to learn rules of the house, you know, taking out the trash, cleaning off the supper table, doing the dishes, mowing the lawn. Why doesn't our dog have certain duties? And so at the least, what I recommend is a GED for a dog, and that's basic obedience. The sitting, the staying, the downs. The come command, of course, is the most important. That could save a dog's life. Leave it is a super handy command, telling the dog, hey, whatever you're doing right now, don't do it anymore. It should have some sort of structure. It needs a job. It wants a job. So those are the things that I encourage people to look at in their dogs. How can this animal benefit us?
Find out more about training, boarding, and doggy day camp online at thecountrypetinn.com or call Shan Foster at 674-8542.
Just picture it. Your beautiful new toolbox. Drawers gliding like butter. Rows of shiny new Carlisle tools perfectly organized. Turn your vision into reality during the spring sales event at Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan. Save up to 20% on tools and equipment and save up to 40% on Napa Gold filters. You know you want it. You've been good, relatively. So go ahead, upgrade the garage, stock the toolbox, and make that daydream your new setup. Napa Auto Parts on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I am joined by Sheridan County Library System Director Amy Long. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
You know, it's always kind of blows my mind how fast a season comes up. But then when you don't have a proper winter,
yeah,
it's, you know, it just kind of throws everything off. How is spring at the library right now?
Sudden and very green. I feel like January lasted a year and then we didn't really have a February because all of a sudden it's April. I don't know. It's very confusing.
Throwing everybody off. I had some of those box elder bugs woke up way too early. So I'm kind of hoping that we've already been through that phase and we all don't have to go outside and
the battle,
yeah, fight those things off.
My daughter sees them as pets, so that we had some we had some in our house all year. She named them. I think she named them all Boxy. I don't know.
It's tough to tell the difference. So just call them all the same name, and, yeah, and you never get it wrong.
She's eight.
You are in the middle of a major renovation project.
We are.
How's it going?
It's going amazingly great. I got to tour Tongue River. They had just finished up, got all of their books pretty much back on the shelves. We're still waiting on furniture because we had a bit of a delay in getting those things ordered, but they've got all their books back up. Their new nonfiction section is so beautiful and all put back together with their materials on the shelves. Their little teen area is set up with the computers. The kids area is ready and waiting for the new things to come. New flooring, new lights. They're so beautiful. The ceiling, it's amazing. Then we went over to Claremont with their new flooring, new paint. Their ceiling had been redone previously by Tammy and Mike Buss, who did an amazing job already. So it's just a new, fresh look. We're still waiting on shelving for them and a couple pieces of furniture, but it already looks so great. And then Story is just now wrapping up. They're still working on some final touches there, but they've got the paint up and the flooring done. The ceiling's getting completed, and we're about ready to finish that project up just as we're beginning Fulmer.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You
know, and it's got to feel great for the employees, mm-hmm, who've been in these buildings, some for decades,
mm-hmm,
walking in there. You got that new paint smell. You got that new carpet smell.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just looks fresh and new. I mean, you got to have smiles all over faces out there.
Yeah, I will say that the new carpet smell when they're laying the carpet is the one you don't want to be in the building for. We did close down for the carpet glue part. But after the glue dries, yes, it is lovely to walk in, especially with Story. They had just gotten that beautiful new meeting room, and I think getting the rest of the building up to match that great meeting room that the Story board had raised funds for and had done such a beautiful job to have the rest of the library match that for the community, I think is a great, great opportunity to really bring it all together.
Now, for the layman, for those of us on the outside, we walk in, we look at something new. Boy, we're happy with the result. We, mm-hmm, really love it. As the director, you're the one who's got to look at timelines, costs, mm-hmm, things like that. Is there anything with the timeline that came across your desk and you're like, boy, you know, I want that to be done sooner? I mean, were there any challenges that came across like that?
Yeah, we had a little bit of delay, not with Claremont. I think that one was the one that went the smoothest. We had a little delay in Tongue River with some unexpected things come up, as well as with the Story. But I've been through some construction projects over at Douglas County, so, mm-hmm, I expected some delays. I expected some change orders. We tried to keep those to a minimum. I expected the contingency to be needed. So just knowing that plans are what you make,
yeah,
while, yeah, reality actually will look a bit different. So trying to stay flexible and also know that in the end, what you want at the end of the day is something that's going to meet the needs of the community and really achieve the goals that you're trying to achieve, which is a library that's going to feel refreshed and also classic and also meet the aesthetic of the community in a way that feels comfortable for them. And that's what we're getting. And so that's what I'm really pleased about. I know that the process is always rough. Odell and Arette have done a great job of really keeping to that with the construction project and keeping those relationships strong as they go through and meet some challenges, which are inevitable, but really trying to not only pay attention to the aesthetic, but also to the quality of what they're doing. And, yeah, that's what matters, is that these things are well done and that they're well thought out and that we know we're doing quality work.
And it's going to last.
Yeah.
That's another huge issue. You don't have money laying around to just do this in another 5-6 years.
We don't.
We're looking for long-lasting, durable materials,
yeah,
that look good And as you said, it fits the aesthetic of the area.
Yeah.
When any resident walks in any of these libraries, it should feel a little bit like home or a private nook. And yes, they're public libraries, but you know how people are with these libraries.
Yeah.
It's an ownership thing.
Yeah, we want it to meet the way that they want to use the library, the way people already use the library. And we certainly don't want them to walk in and feel like they can't sit down and utilize it the way they need to. You know, the libraries in Douglas County are very different than the libraries in Wyoming. And you certainly don't want to walk in and say, I'm sorry, who was this library built for?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It should feel like their library. And, you know, all we're trying to do is give it a bit of a facelift. Nothing too shocking like Hollywood, just more like a little bit of a touch up so that over the next decade, it stays true and stays solid and stays usable.
And libraries are such a memory for so many people because you're going to these programs when you're a little kid with your parents. You're utilizing the library throughout your entire academic career. Mm-hmm. You know, once you hit probably junior high, they really start saying, okay, now let's do research and you need these resources. And so you're kind of taught how to do that. So you got all of that. And then, of course, into high school, by then, now you've gotten through the, you know, a bit of that learning process of how to, you know, use the resources for academic purpose. Now I'm just going in there to grab a book for fun. And so libraries can be a part of someone's entire life. And I'll bet you I could walk to the area in the Afton Public Library where, and I don't even think it's the same library anymore. I think they changed buildings. But I, that old building, I could walk you right where I sat on the rug.
Yeah.
Story time.
Yeah.
I know exactly where I've sat. That still sticks with me. And it's incredible how important these institutions are to people. And we don't look at that every day.
We don't. And it's funny. I've looked into library history through the years. I mean, libraries of Sheridan Library opened in 1904. I mean, we're talking hundreds of years of history. And very early on, libraries were not really a building full of books. That kind of happened as books became more prolifically published later on and easier to obtain. But originally they were community spaces.
Wow.
Where there were more people in the building than books on the shelves. And they were long tables just filled with people reading and studying and working. And as we're going into these new phases, it's becoming more of that community space for people to be and for programs and events and for that connection to your community. And as we were looking at the ways people are using the library post-COVID, we're really seeing a different kind of need. Rather than a long table where six strangers are sitting next to each other, they're looking for more study carrel type furniture. And computers are being used, but a little bit less than the Wi-Fi. And so looking for opportunities to redesign around current usage. But in a place like Claremont, they're looking for places to sit down and chat and places to connect with their neighbors. And so really looking at how are the communities utilizing their facility and what do they need to make that building comfortable and usable for them and for the needs that they have today that will carry them through for the next decade.
And it's got to be kind of, it's got to be challenging as a director. And, you know, you didn't just jump into this job. You worked your way up to it. So having that experience under your belt, looking back over our shoulders and seeing how libraries have changed over the years. I'm sure when, you know, the internet dawned and there were probably people within library systems who were saying, that's it. Now they can just look everything up online. We're not going to be needed. But the libraries adapted.
Yeah.
Overcame that challenge.
Yeah.
Became a primary resource for so many individuals within the community. And as you said, the computers might not be being used, but the Wi-Fi sure is. So that tells you that we're still going to the library and doing further research. Okay, well, I need to study the subject. I need to find that book. But once I find the book, I want to go a little bit farther. It's an evolution of the way that we use information.
Yeah, and the way we think of information. And the, you know, I've talked a lot about how connection is such an integral part of it. you know, the Claremont Library is one I keep going back to because it is a prime example of how it isn't just a building full of books or even a building full of computers or information. It's a place where humans come to connect to other humans, where people come to see who else is there and chat about what's happening with them or chat to the librarian about what news they've heard about the community that day, to connect to each other, to connect to their community. And libraries have started over the last 20 years, they've evolved into really offering community events from summer reading program all the way through to reading challenges that emphasize literacy in a way that grows readers who are reading for fun, but not just reading for fun, reading for relaxation, reading for that escape, reading for that continual and essential part of the way the brain can release stress and can process all of the things that we have happening in our day. And it's such a critical part of, I think, the human experience. And that's what libraries can provide.
And, you know, James can attest to this. That kid's reading all the time. Every break he's got his nose in a book. And I'm a big reader of fantasy, and I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, you know, to read fantasy, to interact with fantasy novels and stories is so human. And you know, you can go from like high fantasy of dragons and things like that all the way to like Western fiction, where it's somebody riding around on a horse dealing out justice to all the bad hats in the area, you know. And there's something about that. What is it like to look at this change in the way that people use libraries and then have to sit and go, okay, how are we going to create these libraries, outfit them, and prepare them for the next 20 years?
I think for me, it's really looking at how do I shape programs and events that in my mind are also forming kind of a collection of sorts where they're matching the subjects and topics that we have in our physical collection. So for example, as we go into 2027 after the Fulmer remodel, I'm looking at, do we have gardening programs because our gardening collection is super popular? Does it feed back into our seed library? Does that help the community that is utilizing this as a massive hobby? And does it help them connect to each other and connect to the resources like the University of Wyoming Extension Office and the Master Gardeners? What are the programs that we can encourage from youth all the way to seniors that can help intergenerations connect? So like the Sheridan Chess Club, we have a chess collection they donated. We also have the club that meets every month, but there are other ways we can grow that as a program that can help connect people to that as a hobby, but also as something to learn more about. So it's like the little rabbit holes that people go into or the new hobbies they want. So we're going to have that creation area that's almost like a makerspace, but it's all about crafts because our craft books, again, circulate really well because people like to pick up new skills. But having a physical space where you can actually practice those with YouTube videos you can look up and check out on how to learn how to do it.
Wow.
Sitting next to someone else who might already be able to show it to you. I've tried to learn to cast on through a book and through a video, but having someone physically show me how to place my hands on the needles when I wasn't quite getting it was a game changer. So how can we connect people to the skills they're trying to learn, but also to other people who can help them grow into a community and into a hobby that takes them to that next step where all of a sudden we're forming connections throughout Sheridan where they're finding friends and they're finding real relationships, because that's something post-COVID that I think is going to really solidify stronger mental health and stronger health and wellness throughout. And the library can really be a big part of that. So for me, that's what the next stage is past books and reading, is books connect you to so many wonderful things and taking that connection beyond to each other and to that human connection is where libraries are thriving.
And it's absolutely fascinating to think of it like that. You know, someone who doesn't engage with the libraries all the time may not be able to see that, but you see it. You see the community value with each other, the friendships and the mm-hmm. relationships that are being built off of one common interest. Mm-hmm. And now, bam, you've got a whole community built right there in front mm-hmm. of you, all because somebody looked at somebody else and said, hey, if we hold the needle like this and you turn it up like that, it's easier.
Yeah.
And that was the initial statement. Now you've got an entire community built.
Yeah.
That is a value
mm-hmm.
that is seldom found. Mm-hmm. I would say, especially in like a government funded building.
Yeah.
You know, the library is different. It is a complete outlier. Now, I'm running out of time with you. Just real quick, give me some key dates on the Fulmer Library so people can know yeah. what to expect.
So as of yesterday, we started deconstruction of the children's theater. So that is currently closed while we tear down the flooring because it was in a stadium seating kind of setup. We're going to flatten that floor so that we can fit all of the 60 to 90 people who come to story time. Because that's another great place for parents to connect and form relationships. That should be open again, hopefully around midsummer when summer reading program starts. Additionally, we will then move into the children's area in the next couple of weeks, which will then be unavailable for a brief period. I don't have the reopen date for that, but the rest of the library is open and we will have some of the children's collection available during that time. Everything else is open and available. You can still make appointments in the Wyoming room for collection access, and then we'll move into other zones. We are planning to do everything by zones, and so we shouldn't have to close the whole library at any particular point.
Fantastic. Amy, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure speaking with you, and I love talking the philosophy of libraries with you.
Thank you for the opportunity. I love it.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
And I'm Nicole Pierce. Buying a home just got more affordable.
With the Mortgage Rate Relief Program, qualified buyers may receive an interest rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean lower monthly payments on your primary residence.
If your household income qualifies, we'll walk you through everything.
Call us for all the details at First Federal Bank and Trust or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, helping you get home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's the final week of Mossholder's Living Room Upholstery Sale. Give your space a fresh look for spring with a new sectional, accent chairs, or relax in a new reclining sofa and love seat. All Living Room Upholstery receives discounts, so you can find your favorite items in stock or order in the pieces that fit your lifestyle best. If you need help customizing your piece, our talented staff will help choose the fabrics or leathers that best complement your space. Hurry in as Mossholder's Living Room Upholstery Sale ends this Saturday. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. We've got some great True Value specials going on right now. If your pet needs a new bed or maybe an extra one, all priced at just $25 with values up to $50. Ceramic bird baths were $149, now just $69. Folks are getting back into their gardens, and we've got you covered with a great selection of fertilizers, Miracle-Gro potting mixes, and topsoil. Stop in and see us at the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway. Open 7 days a week.
Doug, Wyoming roads are tough on tires.
Gravel, potholes, weather, it's a workout.
My tires look tired and worn.
Then it's time for the tire sale, Waring Chevrolet.
That's buy three, get one for a dollar deal, right?
Exactly.
Nice. So you get four brand name tires.
For basically the price of three.
My truck and my wallet love you, Doug.
That's the Waring way, buying tires. Go to WaringSheridan.com or come see us at 107 East Alger.
Saturday afternoon goes full tech. Tech it out at 1, followed by Rich on Tech at 2 on News Talk 930.